to God, opening ourselves to God in 2018. I would like to challenge us to think about this. What does it mean? What does it look like for me to open myself up to God in 2018? I wonder what picture comes to your mind when you think of this phrase, opening to God, opening our hearts to God. What comes into your mind? Let me read a quote to you from a book which I have quoted before. I'll tell you in a few minutes where this quote comes from. But this quote invites us to use our imagination. And so let me invite you to use your imagination as you listen to these words. Just imagine, this writer says, imagine how different your life would be if moment by moment you were constantly open to God. Think of how much your experience of yourself and others and the world would change if you were continuously attuned to the loving presence of God and allowed the life of God to flow into and through you with each breath that you take. Such a life itself would be prayer, this author says. For, as we shall see later on in his book, prayer is not simply words that we offer when we speak to God, but it's an opening of ourselves to God. Opening of ourselves to God. So today is the last day of 2017. I wonder what thoughts come to your mind as you think back over 2017. What kind of events happened in your world in 2017. So think for a moment about the joy-filled events. What kind of really good things happened in 2017? For me, my daughter got married in 2017. That was a joy-filled event. My wife had a very special birthday. That was another special event. I won't tell you how old she is, but it was a great celebration. Good things happened in 2017. Here's the question. In those good things, as you remember those things that happened, in those good things, was God there? Consciously in your thoughts, was He a part of that celebration with you? Were you open to Him in those moments of joy that you were celebrating, enjoying? So let's think on the other side of it. Because 2017 was also full of some difficult experiences for all of us, I'm sure. Some difficult moments in the last year. Perhaps it was losing a loved one. Very difficult experience for anyone to go through. Perhaps it was conflict of some kind. Conflict in your family, or conflict at work, or conflict with friends. Maybe it was a health crisis in yourself, or maybe a loved one was diagnosed with some serious illness. These are difficult experiences for any of us to go through. So let me ask this question again, as you think back over this year and those difficult experiences that you went through, was God there consciously with you? Were you open? Did you feel the life of God in that difficult circumstance? How open were you to God, or how closed were you to God? So the writer that I quoted there, his name is David Benner, and he wrote a book called Opening to God, and I would like to read just a little bit more of his introduction. But before I do that, here's my assignment for you kids who have paper and pencils, all right? If you're drawing something, you need to stop so you can hear your assignment, all right? Here's your assignment, okay? I want you also, kids, to think back over this last year. It's a long time, isn't it? But think back to some things that happened in this last year and think of one event in particular, something that happened that you really liked, something that showed you that God really loves you, that God was really with you, He was with your family. Maybe it was a special vacation, maybe it was visiting grandparents, maybe it was going to school. Maybe it wasn't an event. Maybe it was just spending time with a special person.
Like maybe a grandparent or your parents or your friends. So I want you to draw a picture of that. Something that you really liked from 2017. Something that showed you, reminded you that God really loves you. And then when you go home, you need to tell your parents what you drew. Right? Who needs a piece of paper? Anybody else need a piece of paper? Andrea has it. Just put up your hand, or you can go get one from her, okay, if you don't have one. Cool. Well, let me pick up David Benner's comments here. This idea about being open or closed, all right? So he says in his introduction to this book, Opening to God, most of us live our lives somewhere between the extremes of being completely closed to God and being completely open. Most of us are somewhere in between those two extremes. That's why he says, I speak of opening, right? It's active. It's something we do in an ongoing way. Opening implies not just a position, but a direction. It's a direction of movement towards full openness to God. It recognizes that even for those of us who long to know deep communion and union with God, that sometimes we are ambivalent about the vulnerability of the surrender this involves. Wow, that's a lot of big words in a row, isn't it? Let me try to explain. We are ambivalent. We have mixed feelings about what it means to be open to God, because being open to God means being vulnerable. Right? We're opening places in our lives that maybe we don't like to open. Things we like to hide. Dark things inside of our lives. But we're all in this journey somewhere between being closed to God and being open to God. And the challenge of this book and the challenge of our thoughts today is to move forward. Benner goes on to say, we are hesitant in our openness, often taking a tentative step forward towards it and then quickly pulling back again. Obstacles obstruct the channels of self that we long to open fully to God, blocking our capacity to receive God's fullness of life in us. These obstacles can take many forms. Sometimes they can be fears or unhealed wounds in our lives that keep us from opening ourselves to God. Something that's hurt inside of us, we keep it hidden. We don't want to open it to God or to anyone else. Sometimes it's a theological thing, our distorted view of God. Sometimes we just have a wrong picture of who God is, and so we don't want to open our lives to Him. Sometimes it's a spiritual problem where we rigidly hang on to spiritual practices that no longer bring us life. It is these sorts of blocks to openness that God longs to remove so that we can become increasingly open to God and full of the very life of God. And this is what I would like us to wrestle with this morning. What does it look like for me in 2018 to be more, a little bit more open to God than I was in 2017? Please turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. So the question that we're asking is, how can I open myself more to God in this coming year? And I want to suggest we find something of an answer that's in Psalm 139, but it's perhaps not the answer that we expect. What we might expect is a how-to. How should I open my heart to God? Psalm 139 doesn't give us that so much. But what Psalm 139 gives us is a picture of God that we want to open ourselves to. He reminds us of who this God is. And it's not just a description of this is what God is like, but it's a particular kind of description. It's a particular kind of description. It's a description of God and who He is in relationship with us. Right? So it's not just characteristics of God, but who is God when He's in relationship with us? What does he long for in relationship with us? Who is he in relationship with us? And so we want to try to look at what King David has to say for us here in Psalm 139. It's a very challenging psalm. It's quite a well-known psalm. I'm sure that many of you have read it before. I would like to begin at the end. Because at the end of this psalm, what we find is a cry from the heart of David. And I want to ask the question, I want each of us to ask the question in our own hearts, could this be the cry of my heart today? As I say goodbye to 2017, as I look towards 2018, here's the cry from David. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We said openness is not a position, it's a direction. Here's the cry of King David, lead me in the everlasting way. I would like to look at it in two other translations just so that we hear this word, the words and understand them. The ESV, the one we just read, was the New International Version. The English Standard Version is very close, but there's a couple of different words. Pay attention to them. Search me, O God, know my heart. Same idea, right? God, would you open myself to you? Would you know who I am, everything about me? Test me. I'm sorry, try me. Try me, similar word to test. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, offensive way, grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I also like Eugene Peterson's translation in the Message version of the Bible. A little bit different words, same idea. Investigate my life, O God. Investigate. Look at me closely. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I am about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, O God. And then guide me on the road to eternal life. I wonder how many of you are in the habit of reading the news. I'm in the habit of reading the news. I'm from Canada, so I read the Canadian news. I read the BBC sometimes, just to keep an eye on what's going on in the world. Sometimes when you read news headlines, there's some news headlines that are obviously very good headlines, right? There's some good news that happens in our world. Probably more often, it's not so good news. Right? So there's good news, there's bad news. What are the good news stories of 2017? Anybody remember something good that happened in 2017? Hard to remember, huh? Well, here's a couple. I don't know. Prince Harry got engaged. That's pretty fun, right? Everybody seems happy. There was a solar eclipse in June. That was a pretty amazing thing, especially for U.S. citizens who had the privilege of watching that thing across their country. There's probably other good news stories. There's some bad news stories too, though, right? As we read through almost every day, we recognize how broken our world really is. Whether it's yet another suicide bomber in Afghanistan or America or Europe, senseless loss of life, such a broken world we live in. This kind of news stories are obviously bad news stories. There are also some bad news stories in terms of climate events, right? Hurricanes this past year. Hurricane Harvey was pretty horrible. Others also, earthquakes causing widespread damage and loss of life. Sometimes when we read a news story, it's hard to tell, is it good news or bad news? Because it depends. It depends on your perspective, right? Let me go back to 2016 for a couple of news stories just to illustrate that sometimes we can both look at the same news stories and it can be good or bad. So in June 2016, Britain made a decision to leave the European Union. For some people, that's good news. For some people, it's not good news, right? So it depends on your perspective on it. And there's many stories of elections around the world. The election of one president over another is good news for some people, bad news for others, right? So you can't always ask the question, is this good news or bad news? Sometimes you have to say, it depends. Here's where I'm going with this. In Psalm 139, I want to suggest to you that we can see King David giving us some news about God. And I want to ask the question, is this good news or bad news? We notice as we read through Psalm 139 that actually it's written as a prayer. David is talking to God directly. But we here, sitting right here at the end of 2017, have the immense privilege to read these words and to hear how David is describing God. How David describes God. And in that sense, we can get this as a news flash from David. David is saying, this is what God is like. And I want us to ask the question, as we see this is what God is like, I want to ask the question in our own hearts, is this good news or bad news? Again, these are characters and characteristics and qualities of God that are particularly about God as he relates to us as people, as he relates to you and me. I want to suggest we find three news flashes from King David about who God really is. Here's the first one. Newsflash number one from King David. Listen to these words, and I want to ask you whether it's good news or bad news when you discover this about God. David says this, God, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Is this good news or bad news? It depends. Right? It depends. Let's think about a scenario where it's good news. All right? The point is, and the news flash really is, that God knows everything about you and about me. He knows everything. So let's think about this as good news. So let's imagine a scenario of suffering. Let's imagine a time perhaps when you've lost a loved one who's close to you, or perhaps you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, or perhaps you're suffering in some other way in life. Life is just hard for you right now and it's very difficult. It's a good thing that God knows that, right? It's good that God knows the struggles of my soul and my heart, the questions that I can't answer myself. God knows everything. That's very good news. Right? When is this bad news? Well, it's bad news when there's some things in my life that I'm trying to hide from God. Right? When there's things that have crept into my life, sins that have crept into my life, temptations that have crept into my life that I've fallen prey to. We often talk about inviting God into our hearts. We know that our hearts are made up of several compartments, right? Our literal physical hearts. So we can use that as an analogy, right? We say, Jesus, come into my heart. But don't go in this little compartment over here, all right? Because there's something here. I want to open that to you. Maybe that's a place of anger. Maybe that's a place of lust. Maybe that's a place of selfishness. Whatever that place is, it's a place that's dark and we want to keep it that way. Well, here's the newsflash from King David. God knows everything about us. This is what David wants to tell us today, is that God knows absolutely everything about us. There's no hiding from him. David goes on in verses 5 and 6 to this psalm to say that from his perspective, and I believe that as David is writing Psalm 139, he's at a particular place in his life where this is good news for him. Listen to what he says. God, you hem me in behind and before, you lay your hand on me. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God? God lays his hand on us. His hand is right there. You lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. I believe David is in a good space when he's writing this song. We can think of other times in David's life when he wasn't in such a good space, right? When he fell into sin, he probably wouldn't have written this at that point. But now he says, this is too wonderful for me. The fact that you know absolutely everything that goes on before I even say a word, you know it. Before I think a thought, you know it. You know everything about me. This is who God is. Newsflash number 2 from King David. We pick it up at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will be not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Here's newsflash number 2. I cannot escape God anywhere. Wherever I go, God is there. Is this good news or is it bad news? It depends, right? It depends. I cannot escape God. You may think that you can run away from God, but actually you can't, because wherever you run to, he is there. You may think that you can hide in the darkness, but darkness is light to him. I cannot escape God anywhere. And here I would like to remind us of a great truth that we learned in this last fall season as we were going through the stories of Genesis. We were learning about the God, the creator of everything. He is, in Genesis chapter 1, the one who speaks and everything comes into being. He is the eternal creator of everything that exists. He is everywhere. He is always forever being. He will never end. He is the infinite God. But what we noticed about God in Genesis is that he created us for relationship. That was his heart in creation, was to create people in his image for relationship. But we also noticed in the stories of Genesis that God does not force relationship upon us. He gives us the choice to come to the relationship, to open ourselves to God, or to close ourselves up and turn away from him. This is the God of Genesis. This is the God that David is describing here. You can't run away from him. He is everywhere, but he's also not an intruder. He is not going to break into your life. He is waiting for you to open your life to him. Right at the very end of the story of the Bible, the Apostle John gives us this great picture in Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus says these words to some friends at a church who weren't doing very well, by the way. And he said to them, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And that's the picture of God. He's standing at the door knocking. He says, open the door, let me in. He's not breaking down the door. He's knocking, waiting to be invited in. And here's what King David wants to teach us. You can ignore God, but you cannot escape him. He is everywhere. Newsflash number 3. For you created my inmost being. Verse 13. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow, that's some news about God, isn't it? Here's newsflash number three. God is and always has been actively involved in your life. God is and always has been actively involved in your life. Is this good news or bad news? It depends. Right? Mostly we would see this as good news. God is the one who was there when, as an embryo, we were being formed and put together in our mother's wombs. It's just mind-blowing to even think about that. But God was there, shaping us, forming us. And David, as he is praying to God, is declaring truths about God that we have this great privilege to hear this morning. God is and always has been actively involved in your life, whether you're paying attention to him or not. Even if a person chooses to ignore God, David is saying God was there when you were being formed. He saw you. He knows you by name. We were singing about that a little earlier. But we remind ourselves of who is this God who knows everything, who knows us, who knows everything about us. He's not an intruder. He doesn't break in. He invites us for a relationship. He longs to have relationship, a close relationship, a friendship with you. But he doesn't force himself on you. The sin in our lives and the sin in this world has broken our relationship with this holy and awesome God. But Jesus came in order to offer himself as a sacrifice, in order to repair that relationship. And now he invites us to receive gifts, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of new life, the gift of relationship with God. Jesus stands at the door and he knocks and he knocks and he says, I'd love to come in and sit with you. David says these amazing words. He says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. One only has to take a biology class to get the idea that we are pretty amazing human beings. Our bodies are amazing pieces of creation. Quite a few years ago now, a man by the name of Dr. Paul Brand and Philip Yancey wrote a book called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. In that book, they just explore all of the different intricacies of the human body. This is a picture of my friend's heart right here. I talked to my friend on Friday night. Was it Friday night, Saturday morning, something like that. My friend has a heart problem. 15 years ago, he had heart surgery, and this black line coming down into his heart is a bypass that they did 15 years ago by means of open heart surgery. That bypass is now 100% blocked. So on Friday, he's been struggling with energy. He knew he had to have something done. On Friday morning, he went into the hospital, and 9 o'clock in the morning, he went in, and the doctors went in through a vein in his arm. They went through a vein in his arm, and they put a stent because this part here that looks like it's a mesh is two stents, next right kind of end to end, in a section of artery that was somewhat clogged. I don't know how much clogged. But simply by going through the artery, they installed these two stents, opened up that artery, so now the blood is flowing through there again more freely. And he came home feeling much more energy at 4:30 in the afternoon. So it's amazing on a couple of different levels, right? It's amazing that God has given humankind the skill, to some people at least, some of you, the skill and the ability to do this kind of work. It's absolutely amazing to me. But even more amazing is the whole function of the heart in our body, isn't it? to imagine that we live, we move, and the heart is such a central organ in our bodies. It brings the blood in and pumps it out again, and without our hearts pumping, we have no life. David probably didn't have all of this knowledge, but he knew enough to say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows everything about us. He knows everything about the little parts of our heart that work and don't work, and every other part of our body. I praise you, David says, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God, from the very beginning of your life, was involved in your life, and he still is, whether you acknowledge him or not. There's much more to learn from this psalm, but I'm going to just take these 3 points because I think we remember 3 things better than 5. If we read more into Psalm 139, we read a challenge of how to really love what God loves and how to really hate what God hates. There's some very strong language in some of the remainder of the psalm. But I would like us to take away these 3 news flashes from David about the God who knows you. First, God knows everything about me in verses 1 through 6. Second, I cannot escape anywhere from God. Wherever I go, he's there, verse 7 to 12. And 3, that God is and always has been actively involved in my life in verses 13 to 16. So we come back to our question. How can I open myself more to God in 2018? It's first of all by reminding ourselves who this God is, that he longs for relationship with us. And over the next few weeks, as we begin the month of January, the 4 Sundays of January, we are going to do a series of lessons that will help us to think about practices in our lives, the more practical side of how we can open ourselves to God. But for today, I want this to be the challenge. Will we choose to want to open ourselves to God in 2018? Here's the cry once again of David's heart. Investigate my life, O God. Right? This is vulnerable stuff. This is opening every part of who we are to him. He knows it all anyway, but somehow he gives us permission to hold it to ourselves. David says, I'm opening myself to you. Investigate my life. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. So we think about what's going on in our hearts and our actions and our relationships. We say, God, would you show me those things where I've turned away from your life, where I've been selfish, self-centered. You teach me, God. See for yourself, God, those things that I've done wrong. And then, God, let this be my prayer for 2018. Guide me on the road to eternal life. Let me open myself more to receive your life in this coming year. Here's a picture that you've probably seen before. This is one artist's representation of the words I spoke about in Revelation, where Jesus says, here I am. We can maybe picture our lives as we enter 2018, as we enter into this year, as we think about the things we have planned, as we think about what we anticipate in this year. We have this picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. Beautiful praise. I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants to sit at your table. He wants to come into every little compartment in your life. He wants to free you from the traps of life. He wants to free you from addictions. He wants to free you from your own sin. He wants to free you from fear. He wants to free you from everything. Would you let him in? That's the question. Father, as we come, we stand at this crossroads, this intersection between the years, we come to you again and we say, Lord Jesus, that we have this desire to be in relationship with you. Thank you so much for your word that teaches us so clearly that you long for relationship with us. Would you teach us, Lord, to respond to you? Would you teach us how to open our hearts to you? Would you teach us to open up those dark places of our lives that we hide so vigorously? Would you help us to lay them down? Would you help us to have a good picture of who you really are? A loving Father who wants to forgive, who wants to bring us into the light and give us fullness of life. We long to live more closely, more openly in this next year. So guide us, Father. Help each one of us, no matter where we're at in our journey, to open ourselves more to you than we were in this past year. May it be for the glory of the name of Jesus in our lives and in the life of our community. I pray in the beautiful and powerful name of Jesus.